Let us pray, friends. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart in this room be pleasing in your sight. Our rock, our redeemer, our healer, and friend. Amen. So what Haley was doing during the children's moment was continuing our research. All week long, we have been surveying the citizens of Oak Park to give us their best hypothesis to that single enigmatic question, why did the chicken cross the road? We went to the experts. We went to Junia's preschool and Asher's kindergarten class at Whittier, and we quizzed some of the scholars on Wednesday night at Logos. And I have for you some of the more outstanding theories that I would like to share. Why did the chicken cross the road? To lay eggs. She forgot her hat. She was scared of your beard. I know, right? Her Uber dropped her off on the wrong side. That was Kai. Yeah. She needed to find out who had her hat. The sky was falling, a literary reference. She was a duck. Racism. Because across said road was a shade tree, beautiful and 150 years strong, leaning next to a gently babbling brook, the idyllic setting to ruminate upon the recently encountered dichotomous philosophies of one Immanuel Kant and one Friedrich Nietzsche, thereby perhaps, just perhaps, catching a brief glimpse of infinity, ascertaining one wee dram of existential clarity. Kids these days. And then finally, to eat you. To which I said, that feels like a threat. And of course, that last answer was provided by the wisdom of our four-year-old. You learn a lot by then. And personal observation informs me that it's also around age four when we really begin to ask why. A lot, as some of you may know. You'd think my kids went to business school and really latched onto that five whys technique of getting to root problems. Well, why did you turn there, Daddy? To go to the grocery store. Well, why are we going to the grocery store? Because we have to get milk. Well, why do we drink stuff that comes out of other animals? Goes good with cookies. Why couldn't I eat more cookies at church? I didn't hit double digits. Even so, your clothes are covered in cookie debris. Well, why do I have to wear clothes? Age four, when we begin to unravel the great mysteries of the universe. And we do well to keep repeating that word throughout our lifetime. Why? I think persistently posing that question is one of the singularly most important things people of faith can do. Now, as we pursue such unknowable subjects like God, we have to become accustomed to certain things forever remaining a mystery. But when it comes to other subjects like our own behavior, what we do, reflection often produces some really helpful answers that can guide us in the future. And asking ourselves why, we can discover or remember meaning and purpose, which can and should inform what we are doing, helping us to grow as people and live fuller lives. Asking why refines us. It helps us pare away the things we just don't need. The question keeps me focused every time I walk into a butcher shop, and I think, that sure is tempting. That's a beautiful thought. But why do I need to buy a whole hog this week? And I have yet to come up with a good reason, So I triumph over temptation, but as soon as I can find a good excuse, Wilbur's coming home. As we may or may not uncover good answers to the question of why we are able to adapt, to reform our methods and habits, and after all, we are a reformed people, why are we still doing things this way when we may better achieve our goals another way? Scary question for church-going folk. And why? Asking why can help rejuvenate the good things we've got going on. Why did I ever ask Haley to marry me? Turns out I have a really good answer. Because I am madly in love with her. And life is so much better with her as my partner. Or this past Thursday, when it was 36 degrees and raining, why did we move to Chicago? Because we believe we are called by God to this place. Because the people are uniquely amazing, and they promised me the summers are nice. If we don't ask why, then we not only risk losing our effectiveness and our relevancy, we risk losing our way. We risk forgetting the entire point of even the basics. So it is such an important question. And Jesus raises that question in today's passage. I mean, so picture this. For 38 years, a sick man has been awaiting a turn at what was commonly believed to be a pool of water with the power to take away blindness, disease, and paralysis. And for 38 years, this man has been so ill and lame and friendless, judging by the way that no one has helped him, and everyone just keeps cutting in front of him, that he can never make his way to the front of the line and enter the water. 38 years. Jesus heals him. The man is made well, can stand up, pick up his mat, and walk away for the first time in 38 years. It is a miracle. What an incredible day, but raspberries. It's also the Sabbath. When no one is supposed to be working, you're not even supposed to be doing stuff like carrying a sleeping mat around. That is a form of work. So you certainly shouldn't be healing anyone. That's what some of the local experts on the law have to say about this kind of thing. No one working on the Sabbath. Never mind that a man has his health back, which at this moment in history means that he has a whole new life ahead of him. He can work on the days he's supposed to. He can now provide for himself, be a part of society. Never mind that this man feels well for the first time in nearly four decades. Never mind that this is an event worthy of celebration. And hey, how convenient that there's already a holiday festival going on this weekend. Never mind that something unbelievable just happened. Because it's the Sabbath. And according to the letter of the law, it's against it. Never mind why we have the law in the first place. But of course, the why is everything. Why? For the sake of people. Because around 1,300 years before this era, the Jews' ancestors were freed from slavery in Egypt, freed from a place in which there was no rest. In Egypt, they were forced to labor each and every day. They were used as objects, told that their value lay insofar as what they produced. And in Egypt, the idea of a weekend was a joke, and holidays were forbidden. They had experienced oppression and cruelty, and through unceasing work, they had been stripped of their humanity. So after they are liberated and are beginning to establish their own way of life, God tells them, and they know it firsthand to be true, that that was no way to live. That was no way to be treated or to treat anyone else. So we are going to do things differently, and everyone is going to get to rest. women, men, young, old, employers, employees, donkeys, and oxen. Once a week, everyone is going to need to take a pause and to take a day off. And it's not just to recharge. And it's not just to go to church or something. It's to fight against dehumanization. It's to help us remember that people are more than what they produce. And they aren't tools to be used. They are God's beloved children. People are precious. That is why we have the Sabbath. It is meant to help grow the community in equity, in a sense of family, and in taking some joy in one another. It's meant to remove people's burdens and lift folks up. To get Sabbath is to get up ourselves and walk alongside this guy with his mat under his arm. To see why is to see that this healing is not just awesome, but is the very essence of what the Sabbath is about. And to lose sight of why we have this special day for the benefit of people, especially for those pushed down by society, people like this man, is to lose the very reason for it at all. As he heals on the sacred day of rest, Jesus isn't just helping one man stand up. He's resurrecting the whole point. He's reminding them of the true meaning of Sabbath, of religion, of life. Because at least some of his people are a little off track. They have forgotten. Why? So he forces the question. And he does that a lot, actually. Time and time again, he quote-unquote breaks the law. And each time, not only is he asserting that he's actually the one in charge here, but he's confronting people with this question of, what is the point, guys? Why do we do the things we do? Why? He sounds like a four-year-old. I think it's really worth paying attention here to who has the hardest time being confronted with this question. It's the churchy people. In fact, according to John, this is the moment when the churchy people begin to plot out his murder. For he was doing such things on the Sabbath. Because asking why has the potential to shake things up. It carries within it this kinetic energy, this movement, which does often mean change. And that can feel like a threat. So we need to take note, we, the churchy types of today, because we may not hear Jesus questioning why and want to kill him per se, but how often do we resist him in other ways? How often do we lose track of what he is about? Ignore him. You know, we get caught up in other reasons that we have manufactured and superimposed. Offer disingenuous pat answers rather than wrestle with the truth of the matter. Turn sacred rituals and our programs and our prayers into perfunctory, stale routine. I think if we were more in the practice of self-examination and able to answer, why are we actually doing this, then the better we would be off. And we need to come up with something better, too, than that ancient cop-out, well, that's just the way we've always done it. For one thing, because that's just simply not true, ever. If we were doing things the way we've always done it, we'd all be back in the Garden of Eden running around naked like a bunch of jaybirds. But we are not. And we shall not. We are not. We are doing other things, many of which are really, really great. But others, if we think about it, there's some things we're doing we just don't need to be doing. Some we could do better. And there are some things that we just need to bring the purpose back to life. May we have the courage to ask why and remember what we are about, rather than wandering around like some chicken, meandering this way and that for whatever reason that God only knows. In the name of that God, amen.